Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. Welcome to the Diesel Punk Podcast live. We are broadcasting live on Facebook, on our page, and also the Diesel Punks group. If you are watching, make sure you post a comment and let us know that you're watching. And tonight, I guess I'm flying solo. Larry had to cut out because of an emergency, and Corey had a doctor's appointment for his kid that he is keeping him away. So, Dark Soul and Eric Fisk never committed one way or the other. So here I am by myself, and we're going to talk some Diesel Punk. Now, if you are not following our page, the Diesel Punk Podcast on Facebook, you might be missing a lot of great posts. I post and Larry post weekly. This week I posted the upcoming new Diesel Punk comics. And you might say, well, Johnny, why don't you just share that to the group too? Well, sometimes I do, sometimes I forget. And this week I forgot. So, if you would like to come on the air as a guest, we can bring you in. So a couple of new comics this week that you guys should know about. And last week, for that matter, Black Sad, the collected stories came out. If you don't know what Black Sad is, you may not have been watching the program. And since I'm the only one in the studio tonight, I'm going to take off the headphones and I can hear. See, I don't hear the playback through those headphones, so it's like I'm just talking to the wind. So that's much better. I can be much more relaxed. So last week, Black Sad came out on newsstands, and it is an anthropomorphic panther detective. Very, very cool. Out this week is The Firepower by Robert. Uh-oh, wait a minute. You guys, I got to put on the headset because surprise, surprise, surprise. This Dark Soul in the nude. You're not in the nude. That's a lie. Soon the bay was overrun with fire nation. Can you hear me? We captured a single ship and made it our disguise. Since then, we've been traveling. Dark Soul, can you hear me?
Yes.
Excellent. Welcome. Glad you could make it. It's just you and me, brother. Everybody else bailed on us. Well, and he bailed on me. So there we go. Maybe he'll jump back in. We'll see. This week on newsstands, comic book newsstands, Firepower by Robert Kirkman and Chris Samnee. Very, very cool. And Lucy Claire Redemption. It's a werewolf hunter story. And you should check that out. There you are. How is it the IT guy has such horrible connectivity at home?
Horrible connectivity. Wait. Because I ended it because I was in my had my earphones in. No, it's great. It means the Fire Nation won't be. I had to switch the volume to my earphones.
Oh. Gotcha. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dark Soul to the program. It's been a while, brother. How you been doing?
I'm alive.
Well, it's good to have you back on the program. So, I was just filling in our listeners and our viewers about some of the upcoming stuff. And catching them up on what we've been doing on our hiatus. Larry posted a great article. There's a new series coming to HBO. Please don't do that. There's a new series coming to HBO called Lovecraft Country. And it's based on the Lovecraft mythos, but it attacks Lovecraft's racism and white supremacy. A lot of people don't know H.P. Lovecraft was a raging racist and white supremacist, and he once proclaimed, "The Negro is fundament, ally, the biological inferior of all white and even Mongolian races." And he was anti-Semitic and praised Hitler. Now, in today's cancel culture, Dark Soul, there are a lot of people who are saying we got to get rid of Lovecraft's writings and his books. But this show, Lovecraft Country, attacks those attitudes head on and casts Black American characters in the Lovecraft stories. So there you go. Are you much into Lovecraft, Cthulhu, the Elder Gods?
Sometimes.
You know, work of fiction that people have taken to being real. It's funny because there are actual religions that have formed worshiping the elder gods that Lovecraft made up for his books. Weird, man. But anyway, we're not here to talk about Lovecraft. Can you hear me okay? Okay. We're here to talk about alternative history and what ifs. Because that's a big part of the diesel punk genre, is alternative history. You know, what if this existed in the diesel era, which is the World War I through Sputnik era? You know, what if this technology existed? Or what if everyone had magical powers? Or what if goblins and demons and fairies were real? And, you know, that's kind of the premise of diesel punk, the aesthetics of the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, mashed up with fantasy and science fiction, and with the countercultural aspect, like Lovecraft Country is going to be very countercultural for its setting. But I was watching, Robert, Ancient Aliens. Have you ever seen this show?
I think I have.
It is a show that asks the question, what if Earth was visited by aliens centuries before recorded history?
It wasn't?
Well, we don't know. Some people believe it was, some people believe it's fantasy, but and other people just believe what if. Well, I was watching episode 5 of season 2 of Ancient Aliens on Netflix last week. I love the show because I'm obsessed.
I was too busy watching The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, I finished that Sunday night. I started it Friday night. I finished it Sunday night. We'll talk about The Umbrella Academy in just a minute because there's a lot for diesel punks to love. But I was watching Netflix, Ancient Aliens, and the episode episode five in season 2 was talking about Hitler's technology programs. And, you know, Germany leapfrogged over the rest of the world, like by 20, 30, maybe even 40 years in their technology. And later on, long after the war,
Operation Paperclip is the reason we have the space program.
Well, that's right. We don't have an American space program. We have a German space program because of Operation Paperclip. And Wernher von Braun, who, you know, is basically responsible for creating the jet engine, in an interview just before he died in the early 80s, he was asked, how was Germany able to leapfrog over everybody else and advance their technology so quickly? And he said, because we had help from them. And there are people who believe 100% that for some reason the alien races made a partnership with Adolf Hitler.
You're talking about the ones they called the Vril.
Well, so the Vril was the energy source. The Vril Society was Hitler's secret society, his secret inner circle, that were seeking a way to harness the power of the Vril. And they believed that the Vril energy was deep in the center of the Earth's core, and that it was the energy source for the Hollow Earth, where the Anunnaki, or the Aryan race, had, you know, retreated to. And, you know, the Aryans were these alien human hybrids that were supposed to be the perfect race. And that's what Hitler was trying to bring about, the return of the Aryans.
You're basically talking about the Seraphim.
The what?
The Seraphim.
Well, the Seraphim were
the offspring of the angels and the humans.
No, that's the Nephilim. The Seraphim were angels.
The Seraphim were one of the chorus. Yeah, the Nephilim. Yeah, so, you're basically talking about the Nephilim.
Well, that's what the Hebrew Bible calls them. The Sumerians called them the Anunnaki, and the Germans called them the Aryans. Regardless, the story goes that in 1936...
So that must be what the Norse called the Asgardians.
Maybe. Yeah. That's because what the ancient aliens supposes.
It fits the same description criteria.
Well, not exactly.
The Aryans, blonde hair, blue-eyed, light of skin, Anunnaki, right, light of skin.
No, they were not. Look at some of the Sumerian drawings and paintings. The Anunnaki were perfect, but they were dark-skinned.
Okay.
And the Nephilim, the Nephilim, we don't know anything about other than the one story of Goliath, who was said to be one of the Nephilim, the heroes of old, where fallen angels had mated with humans to produce these giant men, this race of giants, who were the heroes of old. And that's all the Hebrew Bible says about it. But the Aryans, as the Germans called them, and they were different than the Asgardians or the Olympians or the gods of Egypt, Heliopolis, in that they weren't gods. They were mortal, but they were perfect. They were physically, biologically perfect. And, whereas the Asgardians, the Olympians, the Egyptian gods, they lived in a different place. The Chinese mythology, the celestial city, you know, these mystical places that you could only get to through magic or some other means. That wasn't the Nephilim or the Anunnaki or the Aryans. But the belief is that they, for some reason, maybe it was because of the meteor that destroyed the Earth, retreated into the inner hollow Earth, and that their society is powered by the Vril, the energy source. And so Hitler's Vril Society, they were working to figure out how to tap into that energy, how to find it, tap into it, and then harness it to power and create the ultimate, the uber weapon. And that was in the form of the German bell. You've seen and heard about the bell, right?
Yeah.
A bell-shaped spacecraft that was being tested and developed in a lab in Poland. And as it turns out, after the fall of Berlin, the Vril Society disappeared. They vanished. No one ever saw any of the Vril Society again. And it's widely believed that Adolf Hitler killed himself in the bunker. Although, you know, there were three people in that bunker and only two bodies recovered.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Just saying. A lot of people believe Hitler actually escaped and went to South America.
Well, South America was already being primed as a secondary location way before the end of the war.
And I don't know if I believe that, but I know a lot of those Nazi soldiers were apprehended in, what's that?
Paraguay had a base and stuff and land already set aside.
Well, I believe that, but I don't know if I believe that Hitler escaped, is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know if he escaped, but I know his idealism escaped.
Yeah, the idea did not die with him.
Yeah, the Hitler was the Third Reich, and what became after that, even though it went more, I guess you could say, underground, was the Fourth Reich. And the Fourth Reich is still in parts around. I mean, they used the money and the influence that they had created by raping Europe to solidify what was to come.
So I'm getting there in a roundabout way. So the Vril Society vanishes, and there are some people who say that the German bell actually worked and that the Vril Society escaped Earth, either to another planet or to another time period, either that you know, the hinge where the bell was tethered was that circular ring of circular pillars and the upper ring. And some people believe that it was maybe a Stargate or a time travel device. Who knows right now? We don't. But the other night, as I'm watching the Umbrella Academy season 2, the conspiracy theory character, I forget his name, the dead
Elliot
is talking about the Majestic 12. And mm-hmm. I had never heard of this. All my years
I've been around and did a Wikipedia search on them afterwards.
Yeah, I did too. And we're just asking if I have a picture of the bell. I don't, but it's easy to find if you Google it. I can't do it while I'm on the broadcast, but I will. And there are schematics of the bell that survived, Edwin. So anyway, I go look up the Majestic 12. And the Majestic 12 was founded by Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was the successor of Truman, and that was around the same time as Project Paperclip.
Mm-hmm.
So I started wondering, what if the Majestic 12 were the Vril Society and they were brought to the U.S. as part of Project Paperclip?
Very possible. Also,
there's your Fourth Reich.
Yeah, well, see, the thing about it is with the Swiss banking system, all of that money was completely safe. all of the riches that had been raped from Europe was safe because of the Swiss banking system.
I did not know that. So what has happened to that money?
The funds went to the ones that got away. Everything was set up. Everything had to have been set up ahead of time because it was too well oiled of a process. In other words, what happened if he did not leave is basically they realized that their puppet Hitler was going off the deep end, and it was time to put their money on a different horse.
Well, so Hitler was also obsessed with mythology and the occult. You know, the movies Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade are not that far from actual history.
No, he actually had a team that went and hunted.
Yeah, well, yes, and that's what those movies were about. That he was trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. He was trying to find the Holy Grail. He was trying to find and did find the Spear of Destiny, the spear that pierced Christ's side as he was being crucified. And that's on display at a museum in, I want to say, Spain. But he did find the Spear of Destiny, and he held the Spear of Destiny. There are pictures of him leading motorcade parades, holding the Spear of Destiny by his side. And if you believe the mythology, the Spear of Destiny makes whoever holds it invincible in battle.
Until he wasn't holding it no more.
Yeah, well, we don't know. So, and you know, Mengele, his chief scientific, biological scientific doctor, was doing experiments to create human-animal hybrids. And, you know, you've heard the stories about the werewolves of Berlin, haven't you?
Yeah.
The soldiers, the American soldiers rushing into Berlin to take Berlin, the fall of Berlin, there are accounts where they swear they fought and had to kill werewolves. These wolf-human hybrids.
Yeah.
So those are things that are actually, I mean, whether they existed or not, the program existed. Hitler and Mengele were trying to create these human-animal hybrids. Whether you believe that, you know, aliens exist and have visited our planet or not, the Germans were building the Bell to be the ultimate weapon, whether that be destructive or control of time or the ability to, you know, pass through star systems, the Stargate. He was looking for religious and occult artifacts all over the world. And that's all true. And I skipped over one story, 1936, Freiburg, Germany. There was a reported UFO saucer crash, and the SS swept in and claimed the remains and cleaned it up. And the story goes that the reason Germany was able to hopscotch all over everybody was because they reverse engineered the technology that they found in that spacecraft, and they followed the guides, the texts of the ancient Sumerian stories about the sky star people, the sky people. And there are actually detailed drawings and schematics of spacecraft in the Sumerian texts, the Anunnaki stories. So my mind started racing. I watched this show, Ancient Aliens, because I think it's good creative jumping off points for writers. You know, that's why Lucas and Spielberg used the Ark of the Covenant and Hitler's Chase for that as the setting for Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's based in real history, but then it asks, what if? What if all of this is real? What if this actually happened? And Robert, I started asking myself this question because, you know, I'm writing a series of books. In chapter one, in volume one, Night Reich, Hitler partners with the most ancient evil in the world, Adolf Hitler, create an army of vampire Nazis. But in that universe, the Decoverse, the Martians invaded in 1926. War of the Worlds actually happened in 1926. And we won, and we, the world, claimed that Martian technology. So it started making me think, what does Hitler's Germany look like? If he had, truly had, that kind of advanced weaponry.
And why did he not use it?
Well, no, I'm not saying that he did or didn't.
Well, I'm saying what kept him from using what he did have?
Well, he did use it. The tanks, the jets, the ballistic missiles that they built, he used all of that. And those are the things that, you know, up until the jet engine, we were still using prop planes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just makes me wonder if the rest of the world had access to some of that technology, how would the war gone differently?
It'd probably been more mech battles rather than human battles.
Probably. Yeah.
One of the first things they would have done is took the War of the Worlds walkers and redid that technology to where humans could pilot the walkers. So then the walkers would be more humanized in form because we always make everything in our own image, but it would be using the same concept as the walkers, so then we would have quote unquote battle mech.
And that is a great segue for a movie, if you've never seen it, called War of the Worlds Goliath. And it's an animated movie exactly about that. It's the Earth Martian War led by President Theodore Roosevelt. And they build these massive mechs to fight the Martian tripods.
Yep.
It's pretty awesome.
But it's the way that logically things would go, though.
Yeah.
Because we always build stuff in our own image. Ultimately, we build what we are used to seeing. And we're used to seeing the human form or animalistic forms, not a walker short.
Okay. What other alternative history theories have you heard or do you like to imagine in your mind?
Oh, I always get off really, really like the SSGB stuff, but that's just because I thought it was so interesting of Britain being overtaken, but that's been hashed to death.
So SSBG, how does that compare to Man in the High Castle?
GB. SSGB doesn't do any supernatural or science fiction. It is just basically a more of a detective type movie, and the police officer is SS Great Britain.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not, it doesn't do anything fantastical.
It's strictly, just alternative history.
Yeah. It's more told of than Men in the High Castle.
Yeah, I've not been able to watch SS Great Britain because it's on a platform that I don't get here. How did you see it?
I've seen it multiple times. I've seen it. I think I saw it once through like YouTube, and I've seen it on like HBO, Showtime, maybe BBC. I can't remember, but it's out there.
Yeah, no, I know. And
there's two versions. Mini series that came out about it, but then there also was a movie that came out about it a long time ago.
Well, I'll go try to watch it again. I tried to watch it last year, and it was on a platform that you had to subscribe to, and it was more than I was willing to pay to subscribe for it.
But yeah,
maybe it's on video somewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely out there somewhere. I mean, it's like I said, there was a movie that came out years ago before I saw it in a movie. I actually read the book because I used to love to read books about World War II spies because I always thought they were so interesting. Some of the storylines of them.
Hey, we just got a message from our friend Crystal Raven. I'd ask the team if what's that?
You're dealing with something dead.
Yeah, something dead somewhere in the upstairs area.
Did you probably get pissed off at Greg?
I'm going to ask her that.
Use holy water.
Oh, that's funny. So I would love to hear our listener and our viewers' theories about how World War II might have gone differently. Or do you believe that Hitler's Germany was able to advance technologically because, as Wernher von Braun said, they had help from the people up there? Do you think that maybe the Vril Society was brought over to America as part of Project Paperclip and became the Majestic 12? I want to know what you guys think. So send us a note, post your comments here on the video, or you know, send us a note at feedback@dieselpunkpodcast.com. That would be great. Now, Dark Soul, before we wrap up the night, let's talk about Umbrella Academy.
Interesting.
Have you seen show. What's that?
Interesting show.
So, had you watched season one?
Yes.
Okay. So, I watched all of, and have you seen all of season two?
Yes.
Okay. We don't want to give any spoilers, so we're going to talk in code. For those of you who haven't seen The Umbrella Academy, it is set originally in 1996, but it has a lot of diesel punk aesthetics, a lot of Art Deco, a lot of Art Nouveau, a lot of even Victorian architecture. But you've got the character of the handler, who is, you know, straight out of a Hollywood musical. She is Cruella de Vil. There's one point she's wearing an outfit with the cuffs that look like Dalmatian spots, but it's furrier.
Yeah.
And all throughout the show, you see these pieces of diesel punk style, Art Deco style. Even in season one, the diner where Hazel's girlfriend worked, you know, it was like it was pulled right out of 1955 and set in 1996. And I had a problem with season one, though, Robert. While I found the concept really cool, and I had tried to read the comic series, by the way.
Yeah, I never read comics.
Yeah, I tried, and I didn't like it at all. I read the first couple of issues, and I was like, I'm done. So when the TV series came, I was like, I don't know, we'll give it a chance. Maybe I'll like it in a different format. And usually the complaint among fans is that these TV shows, you know, detract or depart too much from the source material. But in this case, it worked for this show. And I liked the show a lot better than the comic series. However, I had one issue, and that was in season one, not a single one of those characters were likable. They were all awful people. I know. But season two...
They are not heroes. They are flawed anti-heroes who end up doing the right thing, not because it's the right thing, because it ends up being what is done because they have no other choice.
Well, I would say that's true of season one. But season two, the whole series redeemed them as people and did a great job of building their likability. And by the end of season two, they are saving the world because they want to save the world. They're doing the right thing for the right reason.
Well, except for five.
Well, even five I started to really like. And there are people now who are wanting him to that actor to play Robin in one of the new Batman franchises. He'd be perfect.
He might be, but what it does is it starts blurring characters too much when you're using somebody that is almost exactly the same character, because it would probably be the Damian Wayne.
Maybe he would be great as Damian Wayne.
So it's almost the exact same character.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Regular assassin.
Yeah. But there was a lot of stuff in there for diesel punks to like, and a lot of that aesthetic all throughout it. And my favorite part,
believe it or not,
okay,
was at the very beginning when everybody blows up. I love that battle scene.
That battle scene was intense. And seeing them use their powers in that battle was great, especially Klaus. That's the one thing that frustrates me about Klaus. We never saw him like use the full extent of his powers, except in that one scene. And that
He started using them later towards the end of the season, because he started.
But still not to the full extent. But still not to his full extent.
No.
But we got to.
He's usually too drunk or stoned or into himself to really use his powers.
Well, and that is the thing about these characters. They're all very selfish, right? That's their core flaw of everybody is their selfishness. But
well, you have Mr. Sensitive. He's not as selfish as the rest of them.
Well, Luther. He, yeah. Well, no, but he is paralyzed by his own self-doubt.
Yeah.
And he refuses to act because he doubts himself. And that in and of itself is a form of selfishness. But, you know, as we're talking about the Anunnaki and alien races, you know, reptilians.
I already know where you're going. But
there was that great scene with the Majestic 12. You guys are going to have to watch it to know what we're talking about. But it was now one of my big pet peeves with TV shows, Dark Soul, is when they end a season on a cliffhanger.
Most of them do it.
Well, why? You don't know that there's going to be another season. You're not guaranteed another season.
It is the marketing beast.
Well, I know it is, but here's the problem with that. Stories have a beginning, middle, and an end. And a TV season should be seen as that way. It should have a definite beginning, a definite middle, and a definite end. Now, when season one ended on the cliffhanger of them blipping out to travel back in time as the world was destroyed, that was a cliffhanger. And if there was no season two, I would have been pissed. Because you're like, what? How is that the end? This season, it ends on a mild cliffhanger that I'm okay with.
It's just...
if they don't do another season...
Proof of the timeline.
What's that?
It's proof of the timeline.
Yeah. But if they ended the series with that ending, I'm okay with it. It was enough of a definitive ending for that story arc to satisfy me. But then to know that they messed up the timeline that much made you raise an eyebrow and wonder, okay, what happens next? But if you never find out, at least you can fill it in your own head. Now, I've already heard that they are doing a season three, so we don't have to worry about that. But they used the Back to the Future Marty McFly time paradox model of time travel.
Yeah, but see, the weird thing about it is if they had used it the correct way, there would have been some picture of people gone from the pictures.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Their selfishness messed up the timeline.
So yeah, it was an interesting series. I watched it all the way through. I also watched Cursed. I liked Cursed.
Cursed was a great show.
Was it The Last Guardian or the one with Andy.
Andy.
The Immortal Soldier Group. The movie.
Oh, The Old Guard.
Yeah. I like that one too.
Yeah. The Old Guard was great. That's also based on a comic book.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, no, neither did I until I went to the comic shop and I saw issue 5 on the stands. I was like, what? How did I miss this? So I bought the collected edition. I bought the graphic novel. And Cursed was really great. We don't talk a whole lot about Arthurian legend. I've always wondered what a series of the based on the Arthur legend set during Prohibition would look like.
The
The holy gin bottle? I don't know.
I don't know, but wouldn't that be cool to set the Arthur legend in the 1930s?
That would be gangsters, not knights.
Well, maybe. But if we turn history on its side, we might have knights. Or what if the Knights of the Round Table are reincarnated in the 30s?
That'd be interesting.
Yeah. Someone needs to make that series. Maybe I'll write that story. The thing with Cursed was, I don't know about you, Robert, but I've seen just about every version of the King Arthur story.
Oh, I have too.
With a few exceptions, and I've read...
Two of my all-time favorites is... One of them was The Sword and the Stone.
Okay.
And the other one was... I'm trying to remember. I remember Merlin was very, very mystical in it. It's probably... Late 70s, early 80s.
That's Excalibur.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, great. Almost the same kind of movie graphics as Lady Hawk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Excalibur. Helen Mirren plays the Lady of the Lake. And lots of great... That's a classic. But Cursed went in a different direction with... Nimue not being a student of Merlin, or the in some legends she is the lover of Merlin, in some legends she is the sister of Merlin, and in some legends
daughter of Merlin.
Yeah, sometimes she's the daughter of Merlin. Sometimes, like in the TV show The Adventures of Merlin, she is the adversary, the evil queen, the evil protagonist or antagonist. The
other character that blew me away was Lancelot du Lake.
Yeah, Lancelot in Cursed is a black man, and
no, he's not. You don't know who Lancelot is, do you? He's the weeping one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about Arthur. No, you're right. You're right. The weeping monk turns out to be Lancelot. But, you know, all of those famous knights of the round table, Gawain, Percival, Lancelot, yeah. So far, they're fae. They're fairy folk.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting twist.
Not so much, because... The skill sets needed for the quote-unquote Knights of the Round Table were almost fantastical.
Supernatural, and yeah. And there are stories about, you know, they picked up on Gawain being the Green Knight.
Gawain and the Green Knight.
Yeah, well, there was one story written where Gawain was called the Green Knight because he was actually a dragon in human form.
Well, the original one is Sir Gawain and the Green Knight.
Yes, yes, you're right. So the Cursed used a lot of different sources and a lot of different inspirations. And when we finally got to see Merlin be Merlin.
Yeah.
Man, he was badass.
He was hilarious, though. Even beforehand, what was so cool is the scar that Excalibur left on him.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so before we leave here, we got another comment. Edwin Stafford had said, Hitler couldn't win. He would have run out of oil and then bodies. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, because Hitler was running out of petroleum. But the thing about it is if they were getting help from other sources, was petroleum or diesel their only power source?
They had the Vril.
Well, I'm going to go inside. I'm done.
All right. All right. Well, hey, guys, thanks for joining us. That's going to end our show tonight. Thanks for watching. I would love to hear your theories about an alternative history and Dark Soul. Peace out, brother. We'll catch anybody you on the flip
side. Can anybody tell why I said I'm in the news?
No.
Because I don't have my mask on.
Well, you never do for the podcast.
I usually have shades or something on.
Maybe. All right. Have a good night, brother. All right, guys and gals, that's going to end our show. Thanks for watching. As always, make sure you listen to past episodes on Apple or Stitcher or now on Spotify. And make sure to subscribe. And if you want to support the show, you can do so at Diesel Punk Podcast. And also a question, where would I find the experimental stuff? So you're talking about the experimental stuff we were talking about with Hitler's Germany. A lot of different sources. I've been studying this because I'm obsessed with mythology and I'm obsessed with ancient mythology, ancient stories, ancient mysticism and artifacts. So I've been literally studying this stuff since I was a kid. Paper projects that never made it off the napkin. That's interesting. I'm going to have to think about that, Edwin. Thanks for giving me something to think about. Projects that never made it off the napkin. But I wanted to kind of come and share some of my thinking, because I'm going to be writing about this a lot for Tales of the Decoverse. Because in Tales of the Decoverse, the Five Power Treaty, which is what initially allowed Hitler to come to power, was never signed in my universe. And so Hitler's ability to wage war was not as far outpacing the rest of the Allies. But in my universe, 1926 was War of the Worlds, the Earth Martian War, and we won, and we reverse engineered and retrofitted the Martian technology. So if the entire world had that, including Germany, because they were part of the Earth Defense Force, then, and everybody has it, so Hitler doesn't leapfrog everyone, how does that make World War II look different? And that's what I'm going to be writing about. And so it's good for me to get these ideas and these theories out. They may not be my theories, but they're theories that create jumping off points for storytellers like myself. And for that, I want to thank the guys who produce Ancient Aliens. All right, guys, I'm going to sign off. Thank you guys for watching. Check us out at www.dieselpunkpodcast.com. And I forgot to have this running under the broadcast. You can become a monthly patron at dieselpunkpodcast.com. That helps support our broadcasts and our airtime and everything that we do. And if you'd like to drop a couple of shekels in the bucket, that would be fantastic. So guys, gals, on behalf of Dark Soul and Larry and Corey and Eric, who couldn't be with us tonight, thanks for joining. My name is John Pica, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool. Until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.